me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender neutral terms.
Sorry.
You tell him that I'll have his money when I'm damn well ready.
Get in there.
Oh, I got a stated trick!
You will deal with Ed Atlas harshly.
Fight forever, Guardian!
I think he broke it.
Don't put your baby down!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk
Radio. Now the time has come. All the two clothes in overthrow the bad. We're here to make a change so all can be free. A call has been made and we are
we're back.
Oh, we're back.
We're back to fight the evil. We will never
it's
we're
I thought it felt later than that. It's 11:05 on a Sunday night. Derek has got to be quiet to wake the missus and the baby, and Craig and I, nobody gives. I have to try to be a little quiet in a little bit so a 6-foot woman doesn't kill me, and Craig only doesn't have to worry about the cat. I don't think Maury cares. Okay, two thoughts. Undertaker was audible from Stone Cold. Was an audible from Stone Cold. We're starting off our show with a take from Bad Ash. We're going to get to that in a second. That's amazing. Welcome to a special WrestleMania wrap-up. We used to do these all the time back in the day. And then I got old. I got tired of coming here at night. And then we've just been talking all day. I was like, hey, Derek, if you promise me you'll be there,
yes,
we could do this. And he was like, yeah, all right. I made him promise to a man. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay, let's get the it's not the elephant, but let's talk main event there, because I have a couple things I want to say about that main event. Nothing bad. We're going to do a little complaining. Well, on the look of Craig's face, it might be a lot. but I'll go first, as I'm the one who brought it up. I will say this. A year ago, we were questioning, all three of us, well, all five, Chris Green as well, were questioning the validity of Cody Rhodes being a top guy. And I will say, in my opinion of the three, in that last year, I don't really have any questions. And I don't know if you heard that. But it doesn't sound like anybody else doubts it anymore either. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, that reaction. I can't believe all of that happened. Noah, I will say, oh man, we're getting hot takes. Noah, I just want to say that I'm not a traitor. This is a spontaneous thing I came up with after WrestleMania. That was not impacting Ghostbusters at all. That's a whole nother podcast. But anyway, Derek, I'm going to throw it to you first. Derek, Ash, Badass, as I throw it to you, Badass says, I thought there was a little literal baby on your wall.
No. Oh, you thought he, yeah.
No.
That's where they keep them. But
yeah, that's where we keep them.
I hit the wrong button. That's where we keep him on the wall, Craig.
Yeah.
He's trapped in the painting.
Sorry, I'm just learning now. That's little Judah. While Judah witnesses from the wall, your thoughts on that main event? Because then I'm going to Craig, because I'm afraid now.
I enjoyed it. The only thing I thought was missing was I thought it would have been awesome if Austin came out to stun The Rock as opposed to The Undertaker. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was fast. I enjoyed the tag match last night, but that thing kind of dragged to the end. This, they got off to a hot start right away. And it's funny because right before I got on the phone with you guys, my buddy texted me, and he texted me, he goes, Triple H has found his John Cena for his era now. And if you think about it, like you said, over the last year, Cody he's become, other than Roman, he's the face of the company. He's doing all the charity. So I enjoyed it. Did it get a little hokey, a little Avenger Endgame-esque at, towards the end there? Yeah.
But, I said that live on your left.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes wrestling is fun when it's hokey. So I enjoyed it, and I can't help as I saw everybody in the ring with him and he's celebrating, and I saw him there with tears in his eyes, and you could see Punk off to the side a little bit, you know, tearing up a little bit. And I thought 3 years ago, 3 years ago, neither one of these guys was in this company. And if there was an adult in that other place, he could have been making a ton of money with these two guys, but instead they're back in WWE making a ton of money on the biggest show of the year.
Mr. Lagans.
Sir, I don't have any problem with the main event. Well, you know, they set it up so perfectly night one that Rockin' Reigns would win in a 42-minute match. Surprising. Derek mentioned they did go long, but yeah, 42 or 47 minutes from bell to bell, which is the longest match of any kind, the longest tag team match in WrestleMania history. But to involve a 50-plus-year-old Rock is very impressive. We knew because they won it was going to be bloodline rules, which means no countouts, no disqualifications, multiple run-ins, lazy booking. And we're going to see a lot of run-ins. And, you know, to their credit, they let the match go a long way before that happened. And when it did, you know, they came one after the other after the other. And the only part that I don't like, and I don't like that, I don't like in any company that does it, when there's a multiple beatdown, when you look at the crowd, everyone's looking at the entrance because they know someone's coming. With this match, they were focused on the crowd. They still, like, as pure wrestling fans, we know somebody's going to come because bloodline rules. But we didn't know who. And I was talking to Dan before we went on the air tonight because of the people that were legitimately there. The rumors were rampant. Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Starks, all there. Jacob Fatu was in the audience. For what it's worth, I don't know how much validity it was, but it gained a lot of traction. Maxwell Jacob Friedman's name was mentioned quite a bit. Obviously, it would have been natural for Austin to come down, to come to the ring. And I, for one, when the run-in started, because I did not expect John Cena, he was not on the list of probables. All the people I mentioned earlier, I thought would be more likely to come to the ring to help out Cody. But John Cena was a complete shock. The Shield music was a complete shock. As was The Undertaker. I think Undertaker, other than Austin, would get the same size, you know, pop. Yeah. I'm not an Undertaker fan, but you know, the gong, it does it, you know, even almost 30 years later. And, but it worked. And, the celebration at the end was reminiscent of his father's very first, NWA world title win, when everyone all the baby faces cried of the ring and put them on his shoulders, August 21st, 1979. It's going to be 45 years this August where Dusty won his first world title with the exact same scenario. All the baby faces flooded the ring and put him on his shoulders. It happened again when he won it in 81. But doing this for Cody, whether it was spontaneous or whether it was planned, it's still a great moment because there's genuine affection for Cody from everyone in the ring. And it was a nice moment for him that he got to share with his family and with everyone.
I thought it was appropriate, all those run-ins, because I was like, well, that's a Dusty finish. Isn't that ironic? And I mean that in a loving way. Like, I know that we joke about it. It's a joke. If there's anybody out there seriously angry about Dusty Rose Dusty finishes, I hope you don't sleep tonight. Relax. Jesus. But that was a Dusty finish, so it was very I think because it was Cody Rhodes that's why we're like subconsciously, that's why we're accepting of this a little bit more, even with all the points we made, because it's like, well, I mean, it's Cody Rhodes, of course, of course. Hey, Stardust is the world champion, guys.
The dashing one is the world champion.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is funny, but because I remember there was a time when he was like doing nothing, and I remember the narrative was he was never going to be as good as his brother. And for a long time, it looked like I remember like people go, "Oh, well, he's never going to be Dustin. Dustin's the star of the family." And you know, it turns out that Dusty was right. Dusty would always say, and you would hear people tell stories about how Dusty goes, you know, Dustin's great, but Cody, he's the one. He's going to be the star, and nobody saw it. And it's a shame he wasn't here to see it, but he was right in the end. Cody was the star.
Yeah,
and I think, go ahead, Craig.
No, and a tremendous story, you know, comeback story, because like you said, Derek, he was a couple of years, he was doing nothing. You know, he came in as part of the Legacy group, which I thought that's in my underrated heel group of that never really got off the ground. I put the Legacy with Ted DiBiase Jr. and Dustin and Randy Orton, the three third generation superstars, as the kind of like the varsity club of the WWE. I thought they it could have been a lot bigger than it was, but no, I the way he started in WWE, went away, and to AEW, and then to come back like this, it's absolutely amazing. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say it's weird after all the other thing, the underlying story of the night, I believe it was on purpose, was we're done with Vince. For better or for worse, we're not talking about the how and the why, we just are. And this was a month of changes of life without Vince, which is a good thing. It's a good thing, by the way. Not taken away from what he brought to wrestling, but because of the person we find out about, and because he was, 800 years old, it just wasn't it wasn't viable anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah. Stephanie coming out there saying that solidified it. Cody Rhodes winning the championship, I think, put the capper on it.
Yeah.
Ash says they needed more run-ins.
No, they didn't. Paul Heyman.
I knew you were going to say that.
Paul Heyman's speech on Friday night kind of solidified that this was the Paul Levesque, you know, era.
And the last thing said on the broadcast was Michael Cole saying, "I love pro wrestling." I was like, well, you would have never heard that in the Vince era. So, you know, it's definitely a new era, and it's for the best. You know, there's some things that happened on both nights that if Vince was in charge, I don't think we would ever get. I don't think DIY Ciampa and Gargano would have been on the show. I don't think Rhea would have beat Becky. There's a lot of things that happened on this show I think if Vince was in charge wouldn't have happened. So it felt like a breath of fresh air, like a new beginning.
Yeah. The only thing that bothered me, the two nights, and it didn't bother me. I just didn't expect it. Enjoyed every single match on the card, and just didn't like Gunther losing Sammy. I really didn't. I like the poetic of him losing his belt in 666 days, but I would have kept the belt on Gunther. I know why they did it, and because you know he's a main event level talent, and he and Cody can have some great matches, and they already have a built-in story from the previous Royal Rumble. But I would have, if you're going to keep the belt on, if you're going to take the belt off Gunther, I would rather it been Gable. Yeah. They had the best match, and you know they had a good storyline going, and the fans were legitimately upset, not just in live when it happened, but when Sammy got the title shot, social media went crazy because they wanted to be Gable. But yeah, that's my only gripe, and a small gripe, of Gunther losing to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. And of course, Seth Rollins coming out to the Mummers. Horrible.
Yeah, what you'll find out about Craig and I being from where we're from is neither one of us are just, you know, smitten with the Mummers.
Oh, I'm...
I can't imagine why.
My family being from, you know, Philadelphia, my mom growing up in Philadelphia for about 10 years, I'm very familiar with the, let's say, shady past of the Mummers and their costumes there. Yeah, I'm very familiar.
Sorry, Billy. And that's like secondary. I mean, if I wouldn't mind it so much if the music was, it's just the music, it's so goddamn annoying. And the
hey, marching bands are fun when it's
string. The string bands were not. And getting past, you know, the racism, the homophobic, the not including any women in it. That's it. So everyone, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you're wondering about my post that I said because of Seth Rollins coming out with the Mummers, Seth Rollins, whose entrance theme I cannot stand. And the Mummers, whom I've always hated, WrestleMania began doing the physically impossible. It both blows and sucked. So I was not.
I don't know who read that status, Craig, and wondered anything.
But I
know there was. What, you don't like the Mummers? No.
No. How could you not like the Mummers? Very easily.
I don't know.
And I didn't get into any specifics because I didn't want to go down that. I'm already waging my own war on my other Facebook page with the casting of a female Silver Surfer and Jeffrey Wright being the Watcher. So that's a whole other battle I have to fight. But with WrestleMania, with Seth Rollins, I don't have anything against Seth. I just hate his theme song. I hate when he comes out dressed as Olivia de Havilland or Carol Burnett from the skit where she comes down in the Gone with the Wind outfit. I don't know what the hell those gowns he's wearing. He's gone through so many different iterations. The thing is, when Seth talks on the mic, he's great. It's just that you're wrapped up in a stupid leash. And then the fans keep chanting that stupid song. And it, oh my God.
The song for me. I love the outlandish outfits. I mean, you're talking to a guy that idolized Bowie and Gabriel, so I'm all about the...
Well, you see the suits I wear. I love outlandish outfits, too.
You know, I worship a band where the guy dressed up like a sexually transmitted disease, man. I get it. I get it. But, no. But the mix with that, he's just a piece of shit heel. And I've always said Seth Rollins does a lot of things good, but my favorite things he does is a piece of shit heel and a chicken shit heel.
Yes.
Those are different, and he does both great, so I will buy into the man could... In fact, see, I can't... This is why I don't do the show like this, because I'm like, essentially transmitted disease. It's a disease.
Yeah.
It's not an infection. This one was a disease. I don't know why we're arguing Genesis semantics with me. I will win.
Always. And I don't know how you want to RKO my deck, Ash, but you're welcome to try.
There's a lot of things I want to do to his deck. There's probably a lot. I'm going to get in trouble. While Matt is here, I do want to talk about this real quick. Yeah, well, you're a plague, you son of a bitch. Go ahead, Craig, whatever you're going to say.
I was going to say all this WrestleMania and stuff we're seeing, it comes on the heels of AEW announcing that they're going to show the footage from All In with the brawl.
Craig, it was a wonderful segment, but I'm going to do what you usually do to me and steal that back from you.
Hit it.
I'm sorry. I need to. Please forgive me. You look like you're going to kill me because that was a very professional. There's a reason why you host Comic-Con's things, and there's a reason why I made that video public. Because you're amazing, but I need to get this out of my system because this is the one thing I didn't have to put down on the notes. I'm not making this up. I want to see your guys' face when I tell you this story. the cash in.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask Kelly on Facebook. I literally looked at her and said, you know, it's funny. After Drew had his moment.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was safe.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes passed. He was held in the title. He finally got his moment. I wasn't upset with that loss. It was a great match. They went from 0 to 60 and it kept going the whole time. It was great. And I looked at Kelly and I said, you know, what's funny is that Damian Priest still has a cash in. Music hit. I swear to God. Let me rephrase that. I swear to Bill Hicks and Phil Collins, because I don't believe in God. I swear to those two deities, those two legends, but one of them's alive, one of them's dead. That happened. Now, Damian Priest, I had the pleasure. I'm not going to make this about me, but I'm proud of this. I had the pleasure of working with him for over a year at New Moon Rising Wrestling. The man is over. He was always over. Even if there were 20 people there, 100 people there, 300 people there, up through Ring of Honor, right to the WWE, you motherfuckers heard that. Mm-hmm. When that music hit, I'm not making this up. I'm not so surprised I used to be, boys. But again, Kelly will also attest to this. When that three count happened, yes, badass, the bisexual Undertaker.
Trending worldwide.
And while Gigi, or as Gigi Dolan called him, the country taker, I don't know why, but I was loving the tweets. He deserves everything. He deserves the world. And the fact that when that three count hit, it is the fastest that I got up out of the couch and ran down. I sprinted down my main hallway and screamed, yes, just so I didn't scream in Kelly's face. Do you know how long it's been since wrestling made me do that?
Yeah.
Because I was literally looking at her and saying, I want, duh, we're in Philly. Of course he's going to do it now. Wow. Damian Priest, Luis Punisher Martinez is the world heavyweight champion of the WWE. I can't believe I just said that. My voice is cracking. I'm that excited. Derek, Damian, bisexual Undertaker is the champion.
Yes. And it's always good to see a New Yorker get a win in Philly. So yes. I was double excited.
Oh, but, yeah, that's true. And man, he made his name up there, man, down there. Yeah, like that's, yeah. Those are two worlds that collided.
And it's I'm happy for him. And I think Edge, or Adam Copeland as he's known now, I think one of his lasting legacies from this return is he created the Judgment Day. And by him doing that, we got Damian Priest being rehabbed. We got Finn being rehabbed. We got Rhea becoming rehabbed. And we got Dominic Mysterio. So I think even though it became something he didn't want it to be, he did a great service because, look, I mean, we even got R-Truth getting his WrestleMania moment out of the Judgment Day thing. So, yeah. But it was good to see Priest. You know, I was happy for Priest. And it was funny because when Drew won, I was happy for Drew because he's been amazing since turning heel. And I was like, you know what? He gets it. You know, congratulations to Drew. But the fact that he lost the way he lost is actually perfect for his character because now he has even more reason to hate Punk. And now we have Damian Priest, who's this fresh champion, and there's a bunch of fresh matches for him to have. And if they want to break him away from Judgment Day, he can be the top face on that brand because I'm pretty sure Cody's going to move to SmackDown now. You can have Damian Priest be your top baby face on Raw, and he's your world champion. So it works out for everybody in the end.
And remember how hot he was when he was a face, when Damian Priest came up from NXT. Unfortunately, he came right on the heels of COVID. So when he got the big call up as the Archer of Destiny, that was in front of the Max Headroom audience when all the screens were in the. And remember, we came out with Bad Bunny, how over he was then, and then he just seemed to vanish, to disappear. But he held the briefcase for almost a year. And yeah, if he was going to cash in, it was going to be tonight. And, you know, they gave Drew his moment. You know, this is the first time he's won a championship in front of people. You know, he won his first world title in 5 minutes, beating you beat Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes in an empty building. And that's got to suck. And I even felt for him because he was after the Royal Rumble that year when he eliminated Brock, he was the biggest babyface in the company.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad he got his moment. But once again, Drew can't enjoy it. I mean, he wins his first world title, beats Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes. There's nobody there. He beats Seth Rollins for the world title in front of 72,000 people, and he holds it for a minute and 28 seconds. No, guy can't win, but man, he's already established himself. They've got so many stars now on the roster, or even in either company that aren't champions, but they're main event guys, like Drew and like Seth and like LA Knight and, you know, and Orton and Owens and Sammy Gunther. It's amazing where they are right now.
Badass said, I was just thinking about that tonight. Judgment Day is Edge's legacy. And yeah, you guys, you put a finer point on it. Like, it is. Like, I mean, if he, it, listen, if he's happy with where he is, great.
Yeah.
And yes, Badass, I was just about to bring that up. He tweeted twice. He tweeted, and I thought it was a joke, but then the tweet popped up. I was like, oh, he tweeted at ringside, bored at work, LOL.
Yes, yes.
And then he tweeted, fuck.
He's awesome. He's so good. He's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The other notes I wrote down, although this one I will remember, KO and Randy Orton were having a lot of fun.
I can tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was incredible. That match, I despise. I don't want to reserve the word hate because he's not that important to me. I despise Logan Paul a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's real good. Fair. Yeah.
It's not fair. I mean, it's not like Ric Flair good where he was also a sex pest that I know of. thank you for keeping him across the street at Xfinity Live. But God damn it, he's so good. He take like a duck to water, like a parasite to shit. he's, which is a fair assessment. He's so good.
Yeah,
I'm like, why is he U.S. champion? I know why. Craig and I could kill an hour about, well, what about this person, this person, this person? I get it, but
yeah,
I get it. Mm-hmm. I get both sides of it. That was a fun match.
Yeah. And you knew it would be with those three guys in it because you can limit Orton, who's limited physically, and you know KO can take some great bumps. And with Logan Paul's athleticism, is just really it's uncanny, off the charts, what the guy can do. And you know, and I'm sure he's one of the guys that tells the veterans like Orton and Owens, don't go easy on me. Like this, you know. I can go with it. I can take it. And obviously, the match was called by Randy, and who's you know doing such an amazing job with the helping out the younger talent. I knew this match was going to be good. Kind of like with LA Knight and AJ, we knew they were going to have a great match. Again, something you wouldn't have heard under the previous regime. Michael Cole saying both of these men have faced each other in different companies. Different organizations, not to TNA, but the first time they had a one-on-one match here in WWE, and they did great. Both of them did. So it's fun. Which night did you guys like better, night two or night one?
Well, that's not fair.
Why not?
That's not fair. I liked it all as one event.
Okay.
Like yeah. Let me just say this, because as much as I don't need to preface this. Obvious complaints aside, the last month of wrestling for me has been a lot of fun. From Sting's retirement show. What the fuck is the name of the show? What's the name of the show?
Damn it, their shows.
Butthole, big fuck. I don't remember.
Was it Revolution?
Revolution.
Was it Revolution?
Yeah. Let's say it was Revolution. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Say it's Revolution,
let's just say it was Goodbye, Steve Borden. from that show to here, I've had a lot of fun. I've been also catching up on MLW. I won't watch the show, but I'll catch the clips because there's a certain trash bag wife abuser that works there.
Mm.
It can't get away from him. Impact has, excuse me, TNA has been decent recently. We'll talk about the AEW thing in a second. And WWE, like I said, they're righting a lot of wrongs. Didn't help with Bruce Pritchard at the end, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, wow.
I was like,
Cody.
Oh, we were so close. Oh, Cody, we're so close.
At least he got booed, but yes, I don't
understand. Yeah. Oh, he did. You know, he's going to get booed.
Yeah, I'll say this about Philly. There was no booing Cornette in the Midnight cheering Midnight Express Cornette shit. It was really even keel for both nights. Mm-hmm. With the exception being The Rock, because it's The Rock. I mean, I cheer. He came out, I was like, yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
it's The Rock. As much as I try to hate him, I do not. I don't care. It's funny because I agree with most of what he said. That's another podcast. Let's bring up, since we're talking about the competition, then we'll jump back into WrestleMania. Let's talk about AEW. I'm just saying, not that I'm important enough to make a dent, but Young Bucks, this better be real footage or you better be working me. Because I'm okay with getting worked. Contrary to internet, I like getting worked. I just explained like I was a fucking teenager again, jumping up like I don't have bad knees and running to the end of my hallway without breaking a sweat and screaming at the top of my lungs because I was that happy. I like being worked. Even if it's the bad guy winning over Sting, which happened like 78 times. When I was always falls for it, you stupid bastard. Wear the mask. But you're, God damn it, Sting. Ric Flair does not like you. Get over it. So if it's funny or if it's real, it better be real. Because we were talking I never get worked. You're right, badass. You never get worked. I'm going to pin that to the top of the chat. Hold on. No. Which, badass, that reminded me of the one last thing I wanted to bring up for the end of the show. I'm going to put that note down. I don't know where I was going with this, but it better be real because CM Punk, Mr. Brooks, scorched the earth, and he didn't motherfucking. He had a very good interview where he seemed like he didn't want to answer the question, mm-hmm. but he did because he was asked it.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it twice, so I didn't misrepresent anything. You better hope you have something, because. If you don't, what are you going to do next week? You guys didn't keep him, so you can't make a name off CM Punk. I would like Tony Khan and Young Bucks to go home.
Yes.
I want AEW out of spite to succeed. I want them to be better because again, bringing up the old cliche, Monday Night Wars, competition, everybody's better. We know that. So be better. It's not going to get any better. When Tony's saying, oops, I spent too much money. I've just released 20 people. Oh, roll the tape. Shut the fuck up. Craig, I know you've been killing about this, and I killed your momentum, so go for it.
No, I want to pass it to Derek because his time is limited. So when you heard that there was footage or that the Young Bucks were going to release it and promote it on this Wednesday's show, your thoughts were what?
First, I thought, okay, they're working people, right? And then Meltzer was adamant, this isn't going to work. It's going to be
I don't trust him.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And I was thinking, well, how does this benefit your program? Other than you're going to pop a rating because people want to see the video, similar to like Bischoff challenging Vince McMahon to a fight, and you knew Vince was never going to show up. What do you Yeah, right. And he's like, it's good to be the king, and he's on his bike. But
he sends him where he knows I'm not going to be. Anyway, sorry.
But I don't get it. And then I saw that they were saying the video is only going to be of the punk Jack Perry incident. It won't be anything showing Tony Khan fearing for his life. So so if you're only going to show the altercation between Punk and Perry, what are you going to bring Jack Perry back on television? And he's going to be known as the guy who got beat up by the guy that's a star in the other company? What is the end game? I don't understand. Just because he, and here's another thing. He went on a show with an actual journalist, because I saw people bashing Ariel Helwani, who has a, who's a journalist. Like, he has a journalist degree from Syracuse.
The guy who would beat you up with breathing?
And people are like, people like, oh, well, you know, they're anti-AEW and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and I was thinking to myself, well, this is what happens when you go into an interview and you don't dodge questions the way Tony Khan dodges questions. Now, he had a, apparently there was a Ring of Honor pay-per-view on Friday or Saturday, one of these days. And he did a call for it with the media. And somebody asked him about CM Punk. And he goes, I would prefer not to talk to Punk, but I appreciate you asking. And then a day later, you're going, we're going to release the tape of Punk and Jack Perry. And it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, the more I learn about this company, it seems to me the only likable person other than Cody and the Elite is Kenny Omega. Because it seems like the Young Bucks and Hangman and Tony Khan are just jerks.
They're fucking dickheads.
They're assholes. And I saw an interview with Brandy, and they were asking Brandi Rhodes about leaving AEW, and she's a little bit more open than Cody is. And she said something along the lines of, I saw a company that we helped build change into something completely different than what it was supposed to be. And it seems like that's what Cody kind of says in a roundabout way without saying anything. And it seems like that's what Punk was saying in that interview. And I know he's a billionaire, so he has the money, but who's going to want to work for him? Like, if you're Ricky Starks and you just watched what happened to your buddy tonight at Mania, do you really want to stay in AEW? If you're MJF and you have all the potential in the world to be a mega star, do you watch what happened to Cody tonight and goes, you know what? I think I'll just keep wrestling them at All In. Like, this, I don't want to hate the company, because there's guys there I like. Like, I like Swerve. I like Miro when he's on television. But it just...
I mean, I like Swerve too, but...
Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of people there to like. But when you work for a company that plays favorites, that you work for a company that when stars get themselves over and the fans accept them, like Swerve or like a Wardlow or a Hobbs or the Acclaimed, and then the company just drops the ball and just stops pushing them for even after they got themselves over, it's like, well, what are we here for? Because the person in charge doesn't know how to book, doesn't listen to people with more experience in doing what they're doing. He plays his favorites. Why, if you have a guy like Wardlow, who's your Goldberg, got himself over, and then he's off TV for a month, or someone like Ricky Starks is never on TV, but someone like Daniel Garcia is every week. Why does Orange Cassidy go undefeated for a year, but Powerhouse Hobbs can't get on TV? Who looks more like a star? Who can make it? And Punk said it best in his interview. In his interview, they're not interested in making money or selling tickets or drawing ratings. They'd rather have a 5-star match from Dave Meltzer in a half-empty building than draw a serious crowd and make serious money. They're not interested in that. And the fact that you want to, that all this came from Punk's interview.
Yeah.
You've had that footage for a year. And you're gonna put it out now? Why, the time to do it was the very next day. If you
it was day of.
Day of when you were in Chicago. Punk's hometown that you sold out on Punk's name the night after All In. Show the tape then. This is why Punk got fired. Boom. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, we're going to sit on it, sit on it, sit on it. And then Punk buries us on the MMA hour. And it's like, oh, well, we got to respond. So we'll send Edge out there. And you know what AEW is good for? If you're winding down your career, like an Edge or a Jericho or a Christian, you get paid, work one night a week, and then a couple years, you go back to the WWE for your Hall of Fame ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a young guy and still have a lot of potential and you realize it's not being used properly, you see how people that left AEW are now the biggest stars on the biggest company on the other side. Andrade, Jade Cargill, all got main event spots on Mania. Andrade just showed up, what, a month ago?
Yeah, he did. He just got back, yeah.
I mean, I know Carlito's kicking himself, but Andrade got a main event, a WrestleMania spot, and he's been back a month. Been pushed more in WWE than he ever was on AEW. Being featured more. Yeah, obviously we're all going to look. And if it gets a rating, and by rating, by AEW standards, that might be over 800,000 because they've been dipping every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they went from 820,000 now to 750,000. And they're losing hundreds of thousands of viewers as the hours go on in the show. So even if this does a rating, exactly what you said, Derek, let's say it goes over 800,000 to watch this. You're going to show it every week? It's like when Mercedes showed up in her hometown of Boston. She's not going to debut in Boston every week.
Yeah. And she already means nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. Already. Yeah. And it's just like Okada and Will Ostrich do. I'm sure they're great wrestlers, but that doesn't mean shit to the American audience. Or definitely doesn't mean shit to the wrestling fans.
Dustin. Demo, Craig. Demo.
What demo?
What demo, though? No, Dustin, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
No, they need to get rid of the bosses. Tony, be the book, and I mean the checkbook, and have anybody else in the world. I don't care that the IWC puts me in a category of you just hate AEW. Bullshit. I give them ratings. I watch AEW because I want it to be good. I want it to be good, and it's not going to be with Mickey and Nikki.
Yeah. It's not going to be as good as with Tony Khan in charge. Go ahead, Derek. I make sure.
No, I was going to say Triple H did an interview. I think it was on Pat McAfee, and they were talking about AEW, and he goes, you know, they were talking about people signing to the company as opposed to AEW, and he said something, and people got all upset, but he goes, if you're a young guy and you want to learn the business, you come here with us and do the grind, do the house shows, you do the weekly TV shows, and that's how you get better. He goes, if you just want to go somewhere and you want to wrestle once every 3 weeks, then you can go other places. And everybody got all upset and they got into an uproar. And in his interview, Punk said the same exact thing. He goes, there's guys who want to get paid to wrestle once a month, shoot 2-3 vignettes, and they don't have to come back till next month. And if you look at it, that's what they do there. That this talk of the Motor City Machine Guns going there. Of course they want to go there. They've been busting their butts for the last 20 years on the Indies.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah, you go there, you get a check because your body's broken up, and you wrestle once a month, and you get paid well. That's cool. But if you look at a Brian Pillman Jr., who, even though he's not the biggest star, he's down at NXT, and he's working out, and he's learning, and he has a character as opposed to just being Brian Pillman's son. You know, if you're a Ricky Starks and you want to get in front of more cameras and in front of more eyes, you can come and you can be on Raw, SmackDown, and you can work the house shows and blah, 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 this and that. But just wrestling once a month, shooting vignettes and an occasional pay-per-view, if you're a young guy, it's not going to help. And that's why these guys are botching and almost killing each other when they're in the ring every week.
Yeah. because, and you know, there's no territories anymore. There's no place where you can get good before you get on TV. With the difference between the two companies is the guy in charge now in WWE is a guy who went through the indies, who mm-hmm. wrestled in high school gymnasiums and slept in his car, and knows what it takes to get to a place where you can then wrestle on television. Why there is a performance center first, why there is an NXT. You have to get to a certain spot just to get on NXT. And from NXT, you can possibly go to the main event. But you can also make a nice living on NXT. Yeah.
A lot of nice loving family. Sure.
Yeah, and a nice loving on NXT. Half the roster of AEW belongs on NXT because they're not ready for prime time. And they can learn the right way. And I'm saying the right way is not the WWE way, but certainly not the indie way where we do 558 flips and go through tables in the first match. Where by the main event, you've already seen it half a dozen times. So it doesn't mean anything. There's a way to do things, and there's no right way or wrong way when it comes to professional wrestling. But I know it. There's an AEW way and a WWE way. And the AEW way only works for AEW fans. It doesn't work mm-hmm. for wrestling fans, and it certainly doesn't work for WWE fans.
Yeah. I just look at what Bron Breakker's been wrestling, 3 years, maybe, yeah. on television? And you look at him from when he first debuted to now, and it's night and day. And, of course, he has the pedigree and the athleticism. But when he debuted on TV, the first person they put him with was Tommaso Ciampa. Then they put him with Dolph, you know, and then he wrestled Seth a little bit. Like, there has to be a system. Bully Ray went on Twitter and he goes, I really wish Kenny Omega, who I think is great, would have went to WWE so he could wrestle somebody like a Randy Orton, so he could learn little things about wrestling that he doesn't know. And everybody got all upset. He's the best wrestler in the world. He doesn't need to learn from Randy Orton, blah, blah, blah. And then Kenny Omega went on Twitter. He goes, Bully's 100% correct. I think I could learn a lot from Randy Orton. And it's things like that. You look at a Logan Paul and they put him in the ring with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And then he was wrestling Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And he looks amazing. You got all these guys who you can put with these older talents who won't be around forever. Mm-hmm. And they can learn. And that's how they become stars. On AEW, you're putting Sammy Guevara in the ring with Orange Cassidy. Well, who's teaching who in that situation? And what's to be learned from a situation like that? Because you got guys like Matt and Jeff Hardy who every time they get in the ring with these young guys, they almost get killed.
Right.
Because these guys are dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could put a Billy Gunn's kids would have benefited from doing a program with FTR because they mm-hmm. would have been led and taught the right way. And, you know, and tag team is just as important as singles wrestling of what to do and what not to do and where you're supposed to be in the ring. But you put the Gunns against the Acclaimed. And like you said, Derek, who's leading who? You got four green guys in the ring and no one that can teach them what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And AEW is not, it's never about selling. It's all about spot after spot after spot and not even telling a story. And just the booking, you're putting guys against each other that have no reason to go against each other. Why are you putting guys with legitimate high potential like a Takeshita and Hobbs against each other?
Yeah,
neither one of those guys needs to lose right now, but we'll put them against each other. It's like that makes absolutely no sense. Let's put LA Knight versus Cody. That'll be the next. Why? Just there's a reason that. Go ahead. I'm done, Dan.
No. I was gonna say real quick. It's like when Will Ospreay came in and they put him in the ring with Takeshita, and I'm like, well, they're a part of the same faction. Yeah, but they'll have a great match. Yeah, but what happens after they have the great match? Are they're in a faction together?
Yeah, and why would you have either one of them lose? Neither one of those guys need a loss right now. They need to be pushed. Yeah. So why would you put them against each other? And for Ospreay's first match, why don't you feed him? It's like AEW's got a roster of 3,000 indie guys. Feed Ospreay somebody every week or put him on the mic because he can't talk every week. And then when he wrestles somebody, it's a big deal. Same thing with Takeshita. I mean, that guy's got star written all over him. Mm-hmm. And he's still young, but they're using him like crap. Same thing with Hobbs. These guys look amazing, but they can't get on TV because they don't have as many. I mean, the best friends are on TV more than Hobbs and Takeshita are. Who are you going to pay money to see? Who's going to draw you a crowd? AEW, like Punk said, they're not about making money. They're not about selling tickets. They're not about drawing money or getting ratings. They're all about five-star matches and pleasing their small, minute fans base.
Yeah, like, one of the things that still gets me, they broke up Hobbs and Starks, right? Nobody cared. Nobody cares. They have a match. They didn't care. Then they're friends again a year later. Nobody cares again. You stick Starks in the nothing tag team with Big Bill. The only reason they didn't lose the titles to Chris Jericho and Omega is because Omega got sick and Jericho had those, you know, NDA things come out. And now neither one of them matter. When you could have probably kept these guys together for 2-3 years, built them up as a team that stars, and then when they feuded, people would have cared because they would have became stars together.
Exactly. Well, it's the whole thing how Tony doesn't know how to book. He's still playing matchmaker when he was a kid. Let's put these guys together. Well, oh, I like this guy and I like that guy. Let's have them fight in a completely cold match with no build up, no anything. We'll give it away for free.
Like, I saw Dustin Rhodes is fighting Samoa Joe on Wednesday. Why? Because Cody just wrestled another Samoan champion tonight. Is that what it is?
I got to put the whitest guy I know against the brownest guy I know, and that's how we're going to book it.
And
I'm not worried about AEW in that way, because as long as that man has money, it'll stay. But why not strive to be better?
Yes. Yes.
Stop trying to impress Dave Meltzer. It's not 1997.
Or just work on continuity. Tell a story. Long term booking. Build if guys are getting themselves over, there's a reason why the fans have taken to somebody. I mean, right now, Swerve is the guy. But even when Swerve was the guy, and so you had your second biggest house of the year in Boston for the debut of Mercedes Moné, and Swerve wasn't even on the card. How is your hottest guy doesn't even have a match, and you're drawing your second biggest house of the year, and your biggest star doesn't even have a match, and instead you give away Samoa Joe versus Wardlow for free, and Wardlow gets choked out like he's nobody.
How many Edge and Christian matches? I'm sorry, Adam and
what's his name? And Jay. Cage. Yeah.
And Jay. Yeah, he keeps calling him Jay. Yeah,
How many of those matches have been given away for free?
And they built the devil up for almost a year as this big thing. And then you have to reveal it's Adam Cole. And Adam Cole says, Wardlow, your whole reason for the beat in this group is to beat Samoa Joe and bring the title back to me. And in his first chance to get the belt, he gets choked out. Why do I care about Wardlow again anymore?
Exactly.
Why do I care now? Again, for the second time.
That was your Goldberg, and you blew it. Last thing, and this is the only historian note I'm going to make because of something happened that happened yesterday, Dan, you called your attention to, because you called it an Andy Kaufman moment. It's 42 years ago, April 5th. April 5th, 1982. The pile driver heard around the world. 42 years ago this week, Jerry Lawler pile drived Andy Kaufman in Memphis, made national headlines. Andy Kaufman spent 3 days in the hospital because he wanted an ambulance, feared his neck was broken, his career would be over. And that would start the 3 months later on David Letterman, it would start the national celebrity being in professional wrestling. And I got a message from Dan at 12:45 in the morning. Billy Starks, just Andy Kaufman. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just know it was appropriate because 42 years ago this week, Andy Kaufman was pile drive. But for those of the uninitiated who didn't see it and who weren't up at 12:48 a.m., what happened, Dan?
Okay, so
he's so excited.
When I said that, I was really scared about Craig's response. Craig's been watching wrestling twice as long as both of us, Derek. So I'm like, please be kind. Because I thought it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
This kid, by the way, Billy Starks, 22.
I'm about to say she's young, right? Yeah.
22. Mm-hmm. So hold on.
She's another one who should be in NXT, like Roxanne Perez, who's also, I think, 21, 22.
Oh, you've been here the whole time. Okay. Bad Ash and I have been talking about Billy Starks off and on for like a year or maybe a little more. Mm-hmm. And we're both like, please don't go to AEW. Please. And I know she's there, but technically she's with Ring of Honor. And it's the look on her face after that sells this for me. So she is in the ring with Derek. Who was she wrestling? I'm blanking on her name.
And I saw it too. It's not Athena.
I keep saying it's Athena. I'm like, it wasn't Athena.
Princess Aminata.
Thank you. She's 20?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. She's 20. Billy Starks is 20.
Okay.
Thank you, Craig. See, Craig didn't even watch it. He knows what the fuck's going on. they've been wrestling. Great match, first of all. They're having a great match. And Billy goes to do a swanton, and pronounce the name again for me, Craig.
Aminata had her knees up.
Aminata puts her knees up and hits Billy Stark's neck on the way down. Billy immediately goes freezes, but with her hands, she's telling referee, "Get over here." I get whole fucking place goes. It's at the Lee Corps Center in Philadelphia, so it's at Temple University. So it's not a small place. It's not a big place, but it ain't small. So there's thousands of people there. I've been there twice. I've been there for lockdown and for my sister's high school graduation. That's how many kids were in that class.
That's awesome. Completely different sides of the. That's awesome.
Exactly, isn't it? Right, the sister I like.
I was there for a Jon Stewart stand-up special, but go ahead.
Damn that! Well, he wins. Although my sister's awesome.
I drove past it. If that counts.
Well, if you're not going inside from the parking garage, you don't want to stop. Just keep going.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is in a, that's the. It's right next to the street my dad was raised on.
Mm.
Which is like, hey, you want to go see your house? He's like, no.
it's no need.
We don't want to go there. I'm like, no, okay, really. Fair enough. It's cool. So she lands, knees hit the back of her neck. She lands awkwardly. She's down. Referee puts his arms up, place goes silent immediately. You could hear a pin drop in this place. And that's what I mean by this is like a 8,000, 9,000, maybe 7,000 seater, deadly silent. You could hear the Sprint PCS pin drop at the end of the commercial. This goes on for 2 minutes. Officials come into the ring, wrap her neck with a neck brace. Badass, I'll address you in a second in a polite way. I'm not going to roast you. Stay with me. I'm not about that. I didn't want her to be upset. Like, I'm going to be like, you fucking dumbass. Not about that. I want you to be a fan, and I also want you to keep watching me, so I'm not going to be a jerk. Just kidding. Puts the neck brace on. They very slowly help her up. Now, this is when I'm watching it going,
You don't usually stand up. Yeah. You don't
should be moving her. Why are they moving her? What the hell's going on? Aminata goes, I'll hold the rope open. She holds the rope open so they can help. She doesn't have to get down as far with her neck. I'm getting chills. I'm getting chills talking about it now. Like The Rock says, if you watch it a second time, you see, yes, you see Billy Starks go, she looks around like she fucking German suplexes her. Boom. That place went insane. She does the German suplex into her, into the finishing hold. It happened so fast. I'm still blanking on the name of the hold. And she wins. She gets the Ring of Honor women's title. And on top of that, zooms in on her face, which is it's going to be on the cover of this episode. She is smiling. She's got the shit eating grin on her face. I have not seen that in 20 years. The only time I've seen it, and I wish I could find the footage. It is out there. It is regularly available. I just can't remember the show. This was at a firehouse in Alexandria, Virginia. Nova Pro Wrestling. It's about 200 people. It's packed. But you also have the firefighters on duty watching the show. You know, they're just in case they got to go, they're geared, not with their jackets on, but they got they're ready to jump in the truck and they're watching. And I forgot who Logan Easton LaRue, who is amazing, wrestled, but he gets hit in the head and goes down. He had everybody fooled. The firefighters behind me on duty, I was fooled. The crowd was fooled. He's down. And just when you think he stands up and everybody claps, like, oh, he's okay. Now, mind you, he's a heel, a bunch of heels. He's a heel, heel. This was a trap. He nails whoever, I forget who he's wrestling, but uber babyface, nails him and then walks around the ring going, oh, fuck you. It wasn't even the finish, but the fire, and I turned around, I was like, you're fine. He doesn't need you. The only time I can think of, and I'm sure there are little ones, there's the Alexa Bliss arm that's not broken. There's a spattering of minor ones, but the last major one where we're like, oh, it's a neck, was fucking Kaufman. And this is the story I tell people now for years. I'm going to tell this until I'm dead, because it's one of my favorite memories of my father, and he's still with us right now. I don't know if he's from the hospital. He's fine. I'm not going to get into that. It is a long story. Just say whatever was going on with his hand, it was the most unbearable pain he's had since he fell almost 10 stories and shattered his ankle. We've been arguing about wrestling since I was a kid. Why do you watch this crap? Or worse, this is stupid. Why? I don't get it. And 3 years ago, we're at the dining room table just finishing lunch, and he asked me, he's like, why do you still watch this crap? And I'm trying to explain to him, Dad, it's just a TV show. It's just like watching a TV show. You watch 30 reruns of CSI. You've seen them for 5,800 times. It's the same. I'll watch Nitro 4,000 times. I've seen them. I have it all memorized, but it's a TV show. It's a simulated combat. That's the only way I can explain to him. Then I go, Dad, you remember when Andy Kaufman broke his neck when he wrestled that guy? He goes, yeah, I remember that. That was national. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't real.
Oh.
He goes,
oh.
I said, yeah, it was an angle. It was a work. He goes, oh.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
There wasn't a, I get it now, but there was an audible, got it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This was like that, but quicker. Now, Ash, before Craig goes, and this will be the last thing if you guys want to bail after this, because we're going longer than I thought we were going to. And I'm not going to sleep tonight. Ash was upset. And without barging in on her feelings, because she was upset, because this was her fate. This is her one of her favorites going, the fuck you doing? That's not cool. So without upsetting her, I just tweeted on my own timeline, things that have happened like that in the past. I'm like, it's fine. This is a TV show. This is supposed to happen. This is awesome. I watched it 3 times in between to make sure. I'm like, no, that's amazing. Look at this asshole smiling at the end. This is great. And I hope
Badass now, and the only reason why I brought it up, other than I thought it was fucking awesome, was I hope now Badass appreciates it, because that was one of the funniest, most awesome thing. Those are the two things. This, not that I had no problems with WrestleMania Night 1. I had no problems with Stand and Deliver. Joe Gacy being on NXT in front of that many people where he near where he grew up in his hometown of wrestling, speechless. But there's two things this weekend that made me react like I was a kid again. And that's Damian Priest and Billy Starks. And Billy Starks could be my kid. And she made me react like that. It's like, ah, that's awesome. Neck injuries aren't something you fake with bad juju. I understand your opinion. Been doing it for 100 years.
I'm about to say, yeah, that's the thing.
It's
yeah.
It's one of those old wrestling cliches that we just have to get past and accept. I've had a minor neck injury. My mom's had a neck injury. I know people with serious neck injuries that watch wrestling. It was like, that's awesome.
Oh, Buff broke his neck on TV. And then
and they made a parody of it.
And they made a parody of it.
I forgot about that, dude. On... They didn't just make a parody of this dude snapped his neck like a twig, mm-hmm. taking on a thunder.
Yeah, terrifying. It was terrifying.
On a fucking thunder, not even nitro.
On a botched bulldog.
On a botched bulldog by Rick Steiner. And they milked the, my favorite era of Buff Bagwell with Scott Steiner happens here. Because out of that, they do this at the top of the hour against Raw for months. It was mm-hmm. awesome. I liked it, but I didn't like it. Now I understand that, Ash. I understand that feeling. I was just hoping to make you feel better. It wasn't to shame you. I was hoping to assist you making you feel better because no shame. That was awesome. This guy broke his. It was in February '98. Broke his neck on a botched bulldog because who knows? Rick Steiner can fucking work like a anyway. Talks as well as he works. He botches the bulldog. He legit breaks his neck. He is out for months and slowly starts coming back. And do you remember, Derek, now that you mentioned it, they worked in a neck injury like once a week.
Yeah, with him.
People were like, oh, no, he's serious this time.
I remember they did it in a match he had with Rick Steiner. So they did it with the same guy that injured him. And I remember thinking, like, wow. I remember Hogan came out and... Didn't Hogan call him a cripple when he had the neck brace?
Yes,
like,
he called him a cripple. He hit him with a chair.
Yeah,
and it was all for him to turn on him and be in the NWO still and wear the overalls, which are awesome. Yeah. And for his mom to get involved. Mm. By the way, Badass just said, anytime Billy gets that smirk on her face is gold. Yes.
The only thing I hated about the Billy thing was, imagine if that was on their main TV show. Like, imagine how much traction
the wear. The wear pissed me off.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't do that in AEW, did it? Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But the Rick Steiner, Scott. So it's Scott Steiner versus Rick Steiner at Fall Brawl 98. And Rick Steiner just takes Buff Bagwell and throws him against, you know, the move against the steel post. And immediately he goes down, flops like a goddamn deck of cards. This was milked for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They did it properly, though. Not like Billy Starks, where they help her up. They get the trainer out there. They get EMS out there. Paramedics, they put them on a board. They put a neck brace on them. They put the board very slowly on the...
He's crying. He's like, Scotty.
He's crying, Scotty, asking if somebody call my mommy. Yeah, call my mom, mama. Scotty. Somebody call my mom. They drag his ass on a board on a stretcher in... all the way through the arena at Winston-Salem with Rick Scott's crying.
It's so bad.
Fucking assholes. They fooled me. I thought it was real again. They get him into the fucking ambulance. The lights turn on. The doors close. Knock on the door to pull away. Rick turns around and just... I can't believe that happened again.
So sad.
Only for the fucking doors open and for them to beat the fucking shit out of him for 10 minutes.
Oh, and then he does a double bicep pose. I'm like, this, ladies and gentlemen, is wrestling.
Craig, before you take over and you wrap this puppy up, because I know it's getting late. This was in the midst, I said, of my favorite run of Buff, and I have the I have this clip on my phone. I will never delete this. I will send it to you later, Ash. They're in Wichita, Kansas. Again, it's 9 o'clock. It's the first hour of Raw versus the second hour of Nitro. Scott Steiner and Buff Bagwell come out. Takes them about 10 minutes because they chat with everybody and flip them off. Whole NWO theme plays twice. He gets to the ring, grabs the microphone from the ring announcer, Dave Penzer, and Buff Bagwell goes, "We don't like Wichita." Shut up! Shut up! And then hands the mic to Scott. And that kills 10 minutes. One of my favorite things ever. It's such a, that was like Mick Foley cheap pops. Craig, you're technically the boss. You have any final thoughts for WrestleMania weekend?
No, I was going to expound on your Billy Starks working the crowd, or Andy Kaufman like working of the neck. It has been done countless times, but never to that degree. The only thing that came close to that was involving the Freebirds and Junkyard Dog.
Oh, that's right.
They blinded Junkyard Dog with the Freebird hair cream. That's what it was called. It got into the eyes of Junkyard Dog, and he was blinded. He was taken. He was completely red. And what happened in the match, he was teaming up with Buck Robley, and he got in the way of them putting it on Buck Robley's hair to remove it. It was the hair cream was going to remove the hair, but it got in Junkyard Dog's eyes. Referee took off his shirt, put it around the dog's eyes. He's screaming. The Freebirds walk away, and Junkyard Dog is blind. He just had a baby girl. That's for real, legitimately. And he said, "I won't be able to see my baby girl because I'm blind. And Freebirds, you did this to me." Fans were sending Junkyard Dog money.
Awesome.
He was getting from fans $500 a week.
That's amazing.
Fans were sending money. The next month in the New Orleans Bayfront Center, he was led to the ringside in wearing Patrick gauze over his head. And he was going to sit because Buck Robley was teaming up with Mike George to get revenge on the Freebirds. So he was sitting at ringside with the dark glasses on, and you can see the gauze.
Listen.
And after the Freebirds, 3-on-2, Buddy Roberts had just joined, had laid out Mike George and Buck Robley, and the fans were just booing and everything, just screaming, and "Go home, Freebirds." And then Michael Hayes, with that blonde hair of his, just points a Junkyard Dog. The baby faces are laid out, and Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts see what Michael's pointing, and they're pointing Junkyard Dog. And Dog, here in the crowd, he just goes like this, and they start walking towards him. A fan jumps over the guardrail, and there was no guardrails back then. There wasn't like what we have
like
now.
These string, like, right?
Yeah, string or bicycle racks. Pulls out a gun. And then the dog and said, "I got him." So now Junkyard Dog has a Jack Benny moment. You know, your money or your life. I'm thinking, do I get this guy and then show everyone that I'm not blind and risk getting fired and Bill Watts going out of business? Or do I not say do I sell the blindness and hope that one or all three of the Freebirds don't get shot?
Thankfully,
the cops came out and grabbed the guy who had a loaded gun on him. But all that culminated in a dog collar match, the first one in Mid-South.
I just retweeted that. Yes.
A blind Junkyard Dog going up against Michael Hayes, and they sold 30,000 people in the Superdome. Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant were on they were the third match of the night. That was the undercard in 1980 from Junkyard Dog being blind. Complete work that we know now, but back then, again, fans were sending Junkyard Dog $500 a week in support because he couldn't see his baby girl because he was blinded by the Freebirds. So seeing that...
Well, Kaufman and Lawler. Nobody knew, dude.
No. Yeah, Jim Cornette said that his sister worked at the hospital that Andy Kaufman stayed at. She didn't know. He was there for 3 days. Yes. So I agree, Ash, neck is nothing to mess with. But if it works, it works. And there's a reason why it works.
There's a reason why it works, man. I get it. I do. I wanted to try to help you feel better about that. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, but we got to wrap it up because obviously it's cold here. As you can see by Derek and I, it's hoodie weather. To all my friends who were there for both nights of WrestleMania, I do hope you enjoyed yourselves. I'm not sorry I couldn't be there. I enjoyed watching it from the comfort of my own home. WrestleMania is in Philadelphia. Started at the bottom, and now we're here. 40 years.
Can I tell the accelerated version of what I wanted to tell you?
Please.
All right, Derek, you got like 5 minutes? Okay. So by the end of night one, by the main event, I'm like, I really want to go. I'm going to go to Philly. And if worst comes to worst, I'll just go to Craig's. Like, if this came through, I was going to text him. I was like, listen, I'm coming over, dude. Oh, the open invitation. I know where to park. I know where he lives. Craig, I'll be there in 4 hours. or I didn't get a ticket. I'll be over in 10 minutes. So I posted last night. Hey, anybody got a ticket to WrestleMania? My stepmother texts me. I love my stepmother to death. Not her fault. Try Facebook Marketplace. Derek, I think you know where this is going. I try Facebook Marketplace and I find the first listing and I look over her profile and now looking at it. And Matt, I have screenshotted everything. So you fucking with the wrong eye tie, as they say. She goes, I have two for both nights. I said, I just need night two. How much? $80 a piece. I said, fine, I'll buy two because I was going to fucking call Craig and go, by the way, I have a ticket for us. Do you want to go? And then he would go, no, it's cold. Fuck you. so I would have called Derek, like, Derek, can you come down? No. It's like, I'll take two. How much? Like I said, 80 a piece. I said, well, I'll give you 80. And when you deliver the tickets to me digitally, I'll give you the other 80.
There you go. Yeah.
Fine. No problem. All right. Here's 80. Miss, are you gonna send me the tickets? Well, I didn't get the notification yet. Did you send it for friends or family, or did you send it goods and services? And I said, well, I sent it goods and services because you're servicing me tickets. She goes, well, let me refund that and resend it. And I said, okay, I'll play along. She doesn't refund it. So I open a dispute with Venmo right away. After I opened the dispute and I messaged her three more times, like, hey, can I have my money back? She sent the money back. Mm-hmm. So take this ride with me. I have my money back, but there's now a dispute open. She goes, try it with PayPal. Make sure you send it friends and family. I go over to PayPal. I'm like, okay. I sent the $80 over goods and services. She leaves the chat. I said, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Then I get an email in the morning. See, now I'm glad I did what I did because I fucked this bitch over. I get an email. Hey, this is Dick McMunch from Facebook Marketplace. I was like, yeah, can I help you? Because at this point, it's over. I'm like, well, I'm not going to ask 50 other people. I'm not doing it. Can I help you? She goes, yeah, you have a dispute open against my Venmo account. I'm like, yeah, I would like my tickets or my money back. She goes, well, you close the dispute and I'll give you your money back. I said, so there's no tickets. She goes, I have the tickets, but you want your money back. And I was like, well, if you give me my money back, I will close the dispute. There she goes, I need you to open the, I need you to close the dispute first. I'm like, that's wonderful. When I get my money, I will close the dispute. And I haven't heard from her since. I have every single second of this screenshot. So next thing I'm going to do is just go to PayPal and open an actual case. And I got money to spend on this bitch. So
there you go.
Fuck with me. You're going to lose every account. You won't be able to scam another motherfucker. Roman got caught smiling when Cody pinned him. Oh, I bet he did.
Yeah, that's it. Happy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did smile.
Okay.
He smiled right as... He smiled in between the two and the one and the two and the three. Mm-hmm. This was... I don't give a shit if the... This is my closing thought, gentlemen. I don't give a shit if it was going to be Rock and Roman and they called an audible. I don't give a shit if it was an audible. They fucking played this wonderfully.
They nailed it.
The Rock being an absolute cunt.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. It was perfect. And we're on the new era. Go ahead, Craig.
Now, hopefully this won't be the last we see of Rock in the WWE, doing an amazing job. And I think what happens when he eventually turns face, if he turns face. But again, they're running into the WWE right now is running into the problem, the great problem they have of having way too many stars. If we're to believe what's being said, Roman, Seth, Becky are taking some much needed time off. But even with those three not in the fold, again, we have so many stars and so many new stars have been created in these last two nights that they're not going to lack for any drawing power. I mean, this is harkens back to, you know, in the 80s version, you can have two or three different house shows in two different parts of the country because they have so many stars that can fill the building. You know, I worry about a guy like LA Knight, who hard to believe this was his first WrestleMania, but that's a guy that had all these stars not come in like Punk and Rock. He could have had a championship match or a title match with someone, but I still see that in his future. But again, there's a logjam up top, but it's a good problem to have if you're WWE. The opposite if you're AEW.
I can't even get minor stars correct. Gentlemen,
sir.
We got an extra show in, and I was able to get Derek in on this.
Yes. Oh, before I go,
yes,
because I've been saying this on social media since Saturday. For a weekend where we saw Trick and Carmelo Hayes put on a great performance on NXT, and Oba Femi put in a great performance with Dijak, who is probably the most underrated guy in wrestling. I love Dijak. Mm-hmm. And you got to see Jade Cargill and Naomi.
He's a star. Boys.
Yeah. And then R-Truth had his moment, and you got to see, you know, the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. I've been saying it all weekend to Mr. Thunderbolt Patterson for all the BS he had to put up with when he was coming up. None of it is probably possible without his sacrifice. So I think he should be thanked. I'm glad he got his moment in the sun. I'm glad he was here to see it. And there's a lot of people who should be thanking that man because he had to deal with a lot of bullshit for them to get, you know, look like the superstars they are today. So that was that.
Thank you, Thunderbolt.
I was going to quote the tweet, but it'll sound terrible if I don't see the tweet. But what did the tweet say? It said, man, WrestleMania is really black. And it was in a good way. And I was like, God damn, that's amazing. Yeah. I retweeted the shit out of that. I was like, thank you. The other one was, and I don't know if you saw this. You probably saw it because of Craig. You follow me. During the Bayley, by the way, Bayley's champ again.
Yeah.
Yeah, the EOS guy, Bayley match, somebody was screaming, women can't wrestle, and those motherfuckers threw him out.
Awesome.
Good. Yeah, good.
Bye-bye. Good. Shut up, dumbass. Good night, everyone. For Craig, it was at Craig Ligon's. C-R-A-I-G-L-I-G-G-E-O-N-S. Did I get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was cheating.
I easily got it wrong, too, but you did a good job.
Dan, is that Dan Law? Notice I didn't put my last name in my fucking social media because fuck you. Kiss my ass. And Derek, who's smartly not on social media. Everybody else, keep it on the paper. See you next week.